Good morning. I always feel like when we're doing kind of the prayer of examine and Lectio Divina, when I come back up here, like I walked into the room with a married couple having their arms around each other doing dishes or something. It's very soft and sweet, and I feel like I'm interrupting. So I apologize for that. Good morning. Welcome to Mountain Vineyard. If you're joining us through YouTube or with Facebook, if you're here in person, we just want to say welcome. If you're watching on a different day than Sunday, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're staying with us. Glad that we're connecting. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would light our paths, our ways, our very life, that you would lead us to you. We ask that you would use community, prayer, meditation, contemplation, and of course your word to draw us to you. We ask in your name. Amen. There was an actress named Billie Burke who was famous in the early 1900s. Most of you might remember Billie Burke as the role that she played, which would solidify her reputation from The Wizard of Oz as Glinda the Good Witch. It was a story that she was on a transatlantic ocean trip, the cruises of the day, when she noticed that there was a gentleman the next table who had a bad cold. She came up to him. She goes, "Are you uncomfortable?" She asked sympathetically. The man nodded. "I'll tell you exactly what you need to do," she offered. "Go back to your stateroom, drink lots of orange juice, take 2 aspirins, cover yourself with all the blankets that you can find, sweat out the cold. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm Billie Burke from Hollywood." The man smiled warmly and introduced himself in return. He said, "Thank you so much. My name is Dr. Mayo from the Mayo Clinic. I appreciate your comments." Week in and week out, we here at Mountain Vineyard do our very best to introduce you to Jesus. We have no higher goal for you to know Jesus. But today I want to introduce you to a way, or if you will, an author that could possibly assist us in our walk towards Christ. Because in all honesty, you have your own relationship with Jesus. Sometimes, like actress Billie Burke, we think we know more than we do. So it's good to go back to the core of it. Go back to Scripture. If I said, who are the primary authors of the New Testament, you might very quickly say Paul, say Peter, say John, and Ringo. That's for the older people. That's a Beatles joke. There is not a book of Ringo. Although Ringo Starr did write a book. First chapter, put a drumstick in the first hand. Second chapter, put a stick in the left hand. And then he opened up with the third chapter, which was actually his first chapter. More information that you don't need to know, but that I have in my brain. You might be surprised, though, that Luke is as prolific in the New Testament as he actually is, because I think he's kind of the gospel for the underdog, if I'm honest. Luke is the author of both Luke and Acts. These two volumes, Luke and Acts, contribute to being one of the largest sections of by any author in the whole New Testament. Outside of Paul, probably the first and second. Luke is the only non-Jewish author in the New Testament. And Luke never, as we can understand through Scripture, actually met Jesus in person. So this says something to us. It says this good news that was communicated through the apostles and his followers became alive through the book of Luke and through the person, Luke, as well. He learned everything through eyewitness experiences and interviews. He was meticulous in his research. And perhaps via a research grant by a wealthy patron, Theophilus, to whom Luke dedicates each volume. Some scholars actually believe that the word Theophilus means different things. Some believe that he was a real person. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Some believe that it's like having a beginning of a book where saying, I'm dedicating this book to this person. But some believe that he actually, Theophilus, invested in Luke's research. As a doctor, he highlights people that might not have been received, that might not have received attention otherwise. And in fact, over a dozen women who are not introduced in any other gospels are introduced by Luke's writing. It's a book of hope. And this Advent season, this first week, we are talking about hope. Hope has to mean something to us. I think we boil it down to a place where we have to have hope that we matter to God. We matter to each other. Luke says, in a sense, salvation is now being offered to previously excluded groups of people. And he proves it chapter by chapter by chapter. And we have to look at this and read it and say, hey, in all honesty, if they matter to God, then maybe we matter to God. And if they can be included, then maybe we can be included. That is good news. Here's what we know about Luke. Luke was a physician in his time. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14 says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greeting. We also know that he was a special friend of Paul, who most likely spent time in prison with him for communicating about the gospel. Some believe that Luke actually cared for Paul after some of his beatings because of his ministry. The book of Philemon, verse 23 and 24, says, Epaphras, my fellow partner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, as do Mark, a gentleman with a name that started with an A, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. So let's jump into the book of Luke this morning. Lord, would you illuminate your word for us? Verse 1 through 4 of chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the very first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decide to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of things that you have been taught. I just heard this week that the majority of Americans right now get their news source through social media. Majority. We investigate very little in our culture. We like sound bites. We like somebody condensing something for us. If it's a 3-hour communication from an official person, we want, what did he actually say? Give it to me in a short, bite-sized piece. We spend very little time, if we're honest, investigating truth. I would say that that is not far from true in the Christian world either. I feel like this is something that we say, well, pastor, tell me what it means. Pastor, tell me what to do. We don't like that. We're going to go to another pastor. There's an old comedic cartoon that I read years ago. If you've been here at Mountain Vineyard, I think this is the third time that I've said that, and I'm about to say it again, because I think it's pointed, and I think good comedic pieces have little editorials that are connected to that. So if you're on Facebook, you don't have to say, Pastor, I think you've used this illustration before. I know, and I'm doing it on purpose. was a gentleman who was on a ship. Probably not with the famous actress that we talked about. A different ship. The ship went down. Lone survivor. Finds his way to a solitary island. Living on the island by himself, he learns how, just like Swiss Family Robinson or Castaway, he learns how to survive. He builds a place to live. Years later, he's rescued, and he says, hey, before we leave, I've really worked very hard. Can I show you the things that I've done? He said, absolutely. What have you done with your life? Let me show you my house. He took coconuts, and he made bowls out of them, and he carved spoons, and he was able to eat, and it was fantastic. Thought, this is the good life. And he goes, can you do me a favor? I have a place of worship. Would you like to see the church building that I've built so that I can go and spend time with God? Oh, well, absolutely. They came through, and he has special little rocks and agate-type things that are shiny, and he makes a path to it, and it's a beautiful building. He's worked clearly for years in this. And all of a sudden, one of the rescuers look over the hill, and he sees another building and says, oh, excuse me, I mean, everything is so great. What's over there? What building is that? And he goes, oh, I don't want to talk about that. That's the church I used to go to. We investigate little, but Luke made it a mission to be somebody who investigated everything from the beginning. As I brought up earlier, Theophilus could have been an honorary person, a book dedication, but Theophilus actually means friend of God or beloved of God or beloved of the loving God, someone who loved God as well. We know by Colossians that Luke is one of the only people, in fact, the only writer that we have who is Jewish. Who is not Jewish, who is Gentile, as they would communicate. Timothy, mother and father, were of mixed race of Jewish and Gentile. Acts chapter 16 brings this up, that his father was Greek. We see that he is communicating intentionally to non-Jewish people. By the way, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, very intentionally writing to Jewish community. Luke writing to those who are outside the Jewish community. It's unique. There's a unique distinction of being the only New Testament writer who is not Jewish. He does things on purpose. Instead of saying rabbi, he'll write, Luke, the author, writes master or teacher. We also see that he is a companion of Paul, and he spends time with him. Martin Luther, the Christian reformer, spoke about the importance of studying. And here's the truth. Every single week we get together and we talk about Luke, we have to talk about the author Luke, who Luke was writing to, when he was writing it, what purpose was it written for? Because all those things help us understand and interpret Scripture. Author, date, receiver, purpose, the form of literature, it's a gospel. Martin Luther, as he's talking about studying, says this, I study my Bible like I gather apples. By the way, if you're from Eastern Washington and you're watching this, you're going to hear him saying, he probably wasn't in the agricultural field, Martin Luther, but the illustration is still sound. I study my Bible like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree that the ripest apples may fall. Then I shake each limb. And when I've shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every limb, study book after book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters. Then I shake every twig, or carefully study the paragraphs and sentences and their words and their meanings. There's something about investing to get something out of this. Years ago, I was a pastor in Yakima, Washington, a place of, that knows about apples, agricultural land. We had what I thought was one of the best classes, devotional type things, and really study that I've ever been a part of. We worked with a vineyard group called Vineyard Institute that just closed. And we found a way to have these videos with these professors. Brilliant education. And we said, here's the truth. You're going to get out of this class whatever you want to put into it. If you just want to come and watch the videos, you're welcome to do that. For a very small fee, there was a booklet you could buy. So we're going through, for example, the book of Luke or the book of Romans or the book of et cetera. And we're going to go through this. You can buy this book. There's also a supplementary book that goes through it. 200 pages, 300 pages. You can go ahead and read this. You can also take it as a class. You can take it at this level of a class. Study this much and take a test, and you can get certified if you take so many classes. Or you can take this level of a class. But the fun part about this is we're all able to be in the room together. Sometimes our schedules were so that we just couldn't take it for credit, if you will. But for some, they jumped into this. And here's one of my favorite parts of this. For two people, they decided as adults to go back to school, and one became a school teacher. One finished work that they never had finished before because they went, hey, we can do this. But everyone in that class got closer to God because they studied and they knew him better when it was done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's hard to handle the word of truth if you don't know the word of truth. King James says it a little bit different. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy says something very similar about Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, breath of God. God breath. Isn't that great? There's something about that. Have you read Scripture and all of a sudden it came alive to you? It's not the book that's boring. Like, I just want to say this. Every now and then they're like, this is a boring book. And I'm like, and then Jesus healed the blind man is not boring to me. And a person who was excluded from community because of leprosy comes into community because they were healed, to me is not boring. I think we have to figure out how to read again. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. English Standard Version says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. I love that. It's not just a New Testament concept. It's an Old Testament concept as well. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Luke is somebody who had great hope that he was going to be able to investigate and find truth. And he did so, I believe, by study. But there's a disconnect. And while this is not a long introduction of Luke, verse 1 through 4, there's a lot there already, but it's an introduction to say, I have done my due diligence in this. May we all, every one of us as followers of God, say we did our due diligence to invest in our relationship with God. But here's the disconnect. The disconnect is that we can have knowledge and not apply knowledge. I'm going to do that, even though I did that and just realized I'm on camera. I don't care. You know, for everybody who has ears to hear. There's something about this that Scripture should impact us and should change us. Faith through action. It should impact us and it should impact our community. You'll say, well, look, it's okay for me just to know about Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. It was never supposed to be just about you. It was never supposed to be just about the knowledge that you have. I'm gonna do something, and it just fits in here. It's actually an illustration that I had and that I removed. Here's one of the hardest things about being a pastor. You have no idea what's on the cutting room floor. You have no idea of, like, studying and all these things and the classes that you've taken and the cohorts that you're with. I'm in with a group of people. Four of us are going through. I decided I was going to go through Luke. I've invited three different churches saying, hey, I think this is a really good thing. If this works for you, great. I have two churches in Texas and one church in Washington State that I get together every single Monday, and we go through this and we go through Scripture together. Our two assistant pastors here join us as well. It's a fantastic time. I'm so glad to be part of this. And then you want to talk about the Scripture, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another, and somebody brings this idea out, and I'm like, oh, that's really good. And I have to go, oh, I can't use that this Sunday, but it's really good. The truth of it is that's one of the reasons we're doing this devotion on Wednesday, is because there is so much here. And I want you guys to be people of the Word. I want you guys to know Jesus from Scripture, to hear it yourself, not just what somebody else said, that you can read this and go, wow, that's Jesus. I'm falling in love with him all over again. When I was young, here's the illustration that I was going to use that I didn't, now I am again. When I was young, my family started going to church. We were not church-going people until I was in high school. I think I was 14 or 15 years old. My brother would have been a couple years younger than me. Single mom, started dating a man who went to church, became my stepfather. And we decided to buy Trivia Pursuit. Then we bought Biblical Trivia Pursuit. Here's the interesting thing about being a new follower of God and reading the cards of Trivia Pursuit for Bible people. Every time an Old Testament thing came out, we either guessed Moses or David because that's all we knew. It's an absolutely true story. New Testament, pretty much Jesus? Who's John? I don't know. And this is the beautiful part of church. And this is why I've fallen in love with the Vineyard. If you're just starting, we are not going to be the church that goes, oh, you don't know who Luke is? We're going to be the kind of church that says, hey, let's walk this out together. One of the greatest compliments I ever had serving Jesus since I was 15 is I had a friend of mine who was a pastor from another church, and he came and visited me when I was in Yakima, Washington. And I said, what did you think of the service? And he goes, well, you guys are real. I mean, that's an authentic church. I said, well, I'll take that as a compliment. And he goes, it was a little rough for me. I like dressing up, and everybody has matching clothes up front, and we have a choir, and it's really, he was saying that we're polished. My wife says it this way. That church smelled good. You know what I'm talking about. They just look all together, and they're just all there, those people. And I said, well, you're smiling, though. What was it about this visit? He goes, there was a person in the front row. She was an older lady. She turned around. She goes, I don't know where the book of Mark is. Can you help me? And he was at the point of tears. And he goes, I can't tell you the last time that I had that. Where somebody just goes, I want to follow what the pastor, this guy who is speaking up front, is saying. Can you help me find this in this giant book? By the way, you have a whole library there. There's 66 books. And they're like, is it in the front part? Is it in the back? Can you just help me? I want to lead that kind of church. I want to say this with as much passion as I can. I want to lead that kind of church where somebody can go, you know, I have to be really all together, but at the Vineyard, I don't have to have it all together. I can be real. I can pursue God, and I can do everything that I need to do to find him. And you know what? Those people want me to find him too. These people in Mountain Vineyard want to help me with everything that they have in there to find and encounter the living God. They're even willing to show me where Luke is. It's not the only place of disconnect that we have. Jesus himself even said that there was a little tiny bit of disconnection in knowing things and not applying them. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38 says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. If he just put a period at the end of that, it could just be between you and Jesus. But he didn't. He ultimately said that this is the first and greatest commandment. Then he went on. And the next one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the part. We're going to see in the book of Luke that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Jesus, is open to all people. Jesus associates over and over again with the underdog. Jesus brings hope where there is no hope to people. Jesus includes people that you wouldn't have brought to your own dinner table or your own Thanksgiving meal. So here's what we get to do. We get to study to know God, to find hope, and to give that hope to others. Faith should lead us to action. I want to encourage you before I close. This is the second or third time that we've done this. We have a small card, if you're here, that's in the back table and it's at the connection corner. If not, you can just take a picture of this with your screenshot, or you can just write a simple list that says, pray for your four. This is what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you not just to go through Luke yourself, but I want to encourage you to go through the book of Luke and start praying for somebody as you're doing this. Just right now. Action step. Moment. Holy Spirit, could you prompt us, even right now, with somebody who is important to you, who has the ability, because of what you've done, the life you've lived, for us to connect with them, but more than that, for us to help, like midwives, like an MC, to introduce you to other people, or other people to you, God. We ask that you would do this by any means necessary. We lift up family members to you. We lift up co-workers to you. We lift up neighbors to you, God. We ask, Lord, that they would know you, that your goodness and your hope, Lord, would meet them right where they are. And Lord, for us, would you help with our integration of faith and action, built on a foundation of Jesus? Lord, may we be people who know that this is worth the investment. We ask in your name. Amen. Brian, can I have you come back up and we'll sing a song, and then I'd like to do a benediction afterwards. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for going through this with us. We ask right now that we would be kind of people, the kind of community that would be open for seekers of God. And I ask that to be our legacy, our heritage, that we would be known as a church that is just open to people who are seeking after Jesus. Amen.